Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Time to get things going here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Denton Day, and for Jenks today. And if you like the NFL, we've got a show for you because we've got all kinds of iterations of what's going on in the league. If you want to bet on it, we've got our Thursday night football plays. If you like just football in general, because I understand some of you tune into the show and you're like, listen, we don't want to bet on everything. We do have power rankings. We have survivor plays, which I know is like betting light. But hey, everybody wants to know who's going to win in the NFL. So anyway, you slice it, a ton of football to talk about. But then I will say last night, even though my bet was in the NBA, I found myself watching college hoops. And I was like, Chelsea, why didn't you bet on college basketball if that's what you want to watch? Because I was completely enthralled with the Arizona and UConn game. But then I was like, all right, I forgot that I have a bet in the Timberwolves and Wizards game. Needless to say, I did not watch it. And I'm glad I didn't because I didn't even win my bet.
It was a tough night for us. Just as a collective. A lot of NBA bets. Mm. Not a lot of wins. In fact, no wins. An ofer. We have flawless victory on the show. Last night was flawless defeat. We didn't catch a single dub. It was kind of embarrassing.
It's fine.
I expected better. I had three opportunities. I lost by a hook. I finally understand what you have felt for a couple weeks when you lose a prop bet by a hook. I lost it by a hook. Nikola Jokic. Couldn't get it done. Couldn't get one more rebound, one more assist, one more point. Terrible.
That's when you yell at the screen. You're like, dude, how tall are you? You can't just put a hand up and just grab a rebound. Like, come on, man, just one more. But listen, if this was college football, that loss would be graded as a, quote, good loss. Like, I can't get my brain around, you know, the theory of college football, and I keep applying it to other things. Because as I'm watching college basketball last night, and Arizona, what a win over UConn last night on the road. They are five games into the season, and they already have five, I think, top 25 wins. And some of those coming on the road, like going on the road to UConn, that environment was absolutely crazy last night. So to hang on for that win was a big deal. But I'm thinking, like, if this was college football, they'd be like, yeah, but it's a good loss for UConn.
What? That's the fun of college football, though, is the hypotheticals and the still lifting your team up in a loss. If it's a good loss, it's a bad loss, you tank your team.
Right. So in the eyes of college football, that was a good loss for your bet on Nikola Jokic. It was a loss, but it was a good loss.
He missed a free throw. They're literally free. My parents used to tell me that all the time. I'm shedding tears in studio, but also because something's in my eye. But he missed a free throw. I mean, like, come on, guy. They're free. And you're halfway toward the rim just standing up anyway. It's brutal.
Well, I mean, to his credit, it's still Nikola Jokic, and it's still a high number. So it's not like he had, like, what, 12 points? Like, he still, I'm sure, had a decent night, right?
Yeah, I mean, he still had a triple-double. So literally my reason for playing this yesterday was because I was like, what if he doesn't have a triple-double but still hits the 51.5? And in turn, he did not have the 51.5, but he still got a triple-double. So it literally blew up in my face.
I'm so sorry. I've been there before, my friend. I've had many an 0-3 night here on the show. And let me tell you, there is another day and there is another sun that rises. It hasn't risen yet, but I promise you things will get better. And plus, we have plenty of things to bet on today. Friday's usually a big card, so you've got plenty of ways to chase and negate an 0-3 night. So we surge forward. All right, so the big news in the NFL yesterday, if you care about the Cleveland Browns, but some people do care about Shedeur Sanders. It feels like he gets way more headlines than like a third-string quarterback should, and he will get the start on Sunday against the Raiders for the Cleveland Browns. So this is not a good sign of you're doing something right. So the line yesterday was the Raiders laying 2.5 against the Browns. And then after the news of Shedeur Sanders starting, the line moved to 4. That is not an indictment of good things that the odds makers think about the Browns. But I will say this. We know Shedeur Sanders wanted to start. He wants to be a starting quarterback. And here's what he said about finally getting some of that spotlight.
Fans have a lot of expectations and hope. And I would be doing a disservice to myself and disservice to the organization if I didn't feel like I am the guy. I did everything I need to. I'm doing everything I need to prepare to be the best version of myself as possible. With the circumstances, everything got to be sped up, and that's great. You know, I like pressure in life. I'm just excited for everything. So, you know, I feel like I'm the guy. I know I'm the guy, but you know, you just have to be able to see. The game got to speak.
All right. Long, deep breath. I feel like I'm trying to read into this without rolling my eyes at first, because I think when people talk and there's already a narrative on them, it's hard not to apply that to what they're saying here. Did you have trouble listening to this and be like, all right, we know you're the guy. Like, you don't have to say it 17 times. How about you say, I'm just going to go out there and be prepared and I'm excited, you know, for this opportunity?
No, I didn't really have a problem with that. I think there's like a weird back and forth between him and Dylan Gabriel where it kind of feels like Gabriel's been taking shots at him. So it feels like he was then taking shots. Yeah, just some sly shots at Dylan Gabriel. I don't know what their actual relationship is, but that to me, I wasn't bothered by anything that he said, but now I have to go out there and prove it. Like, you just can't be doing this, I'm the guy, I'm the guy, I'm the guy, and then go out there and look like just a guy. You have to now look like the guy, especially against a defense in Las Vegas that is not good. So, like, you kind of get everything that you're hoping for Shedeur Sanders on a silver platter. You get all of the reps. That's very important, as we've learned this week. You're going to get all the reps. You're going up against a defense that's not very good, and you play with a defense that's very good, and you're going up against an offense that's not very good. So, like, you really don't have to do a ton to come away with a win. I got to figure that if Cleveland gets to 21 points, they're going to win this football game, but you got to get them to 21 points, and there are not going to be as many excuses this week as there were this past weekend, where he went 4-16, as much as Jacina Anderson was giving us all of the excuses on Twitter. The back against the wall, he makes a big throw where it was Jerry Jeudy making three guys miss. Or the Shedeur Sanders with no reps just threw his first interception. Like, thank you for that. We don't need the extra commentary. He's a rookie quarterback. He's going to look like a rookie against Las Vegas. But can he do enough good to justify giving him this opportunity to play against the Raiders? And a lot of that is going to come onto coaching as well, Chelsea. Get him out of the pocket. He excels when he's on the move, as most young quarterbacks do. It allows them to play a little bit of backyard football, but also to not have a guy like Max Crosby breathing down his neck. Move the pocket, get him out there on the outside, and then honestly just let him rip it. You're the Cleveland Browns. You suck anyway. So, like, you might as well just see if he has an arm at the NFL level and push the ball down the field.
Yeah, I think it's all about, like, simplifying the game plan. Like, don't try to do too much. Like, I understand you want to see some of the flashes of him getting the ball down the field. But I do think he's not in a terrible spot, which is crazy to say about a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns when there has been very little success at that position in, what, the last 25 years? But you're right. Like, you look at Kevin Stefanski, and I understand there's been this, like, weird narrative of, you know, Cam Newton saying that Kevin Stefanski is against Shedeur Sanders and all this nonsense. But you've got to remember, like, he's been a coach of the year, and he has taken Joe Flacco to the playoffs. And, like, no offense to Joe Flacco in year whatever it was when he was the comeback player of the year, because obviously Joe Flacco deserves some credit for that himself. But I'm saying, like, you don't get to that spot without a head coach that puts you in those positions. So Stefanski, I think, deserves some credit here. I do think he will try to make the best game plan for Shadur here. I don't think he has any negative feelings. At the end of the day, coaches want to win games. So I just think that any type of negative feelings that Kevin Stefanski might feel in his heart of hearts against Shadur Sanders is outweighed by the fact that this team needs to win games. Maybe not at this juncture of the season, because now you're just thinking about the future. But I do think there are some good pieces around Shadur. Like you said, it's a good defense. And against the Raiders, like, this is one of the three worst teams in the NFL. So you couldn't ask for a much better matchup when it comes to a defense. But it's also two games in. So, like, I'm not thinking about Shadur Sanders absolutely lighting it up. I think if he has a decent day where he limits the turnovers and he limits the really bad plays, because that's the difference in college, I feel like, is some of these college quarterbacks, they can scramble backwards for 15 yards. You're like, all right, bad play, whatever. In the NFL, you can't have that. So I feel like those are the plays that Shadur has to work on. And again, it's going to be a steep learning curve because, again, it's just his second NFL start.
Yeah, he needs to scramble out, not back. At Colorado, right, there was a lot of back. And he does the thing where he flips his back to the defense to try and, like, do a bootleg as you've already taken a 5 or 7 step drop, which is not an effective plan. You can get away with that when you're playing, you know, respectfully, like a Cincinnati, a Kansas State, where they have a couple of guys that are Sunday players, but not everybody is a Sunday player. Well, now you're going up against everyone who's a Sunday player. And it would not be in the best interest of Shadur Sanders to start turning his back to a guy like Max Crosby. Not smart. Not a very effective way of trying to win. I hated that Cam Newton comment, by the way. Like, I've kind of been a fan of Cam Newton as he's made that transition into media prior to him jumping on these embrace debate shows, because every time somebody jumps on an embrace debate show, their credibility takes, like, a massive, massive fall. And it's just the nature of the show. You got to say some dummy things, but that felt like a dummy thing. You know, he should know better. Kevin Stefanski can feel, one, whatever he wants about Shadur Sanders, but you're not splitting reps in November in practice. And it felt like that's what he was getting at. And as a guy that's been on many NFL rosters, both as a starter and a backup, you should know that you are not splitting reps. So Shadur coming in, that's his responsibility to be taking mental reps when he's at practice. It's something that Tom Brady says all the time. Drew Brees has said it all the time. Peyton Manning has said it all the time. It feels like every time that Peyton Manning is doing the Manning cast and they have a quarterback come on, Stafford, Russell Wilson, like whoever comes on the Manning cast, mental reps always comes up in that conversation. And not to say that Shadur Sanders was not taking mental reps, but to then be trying to undercut Stefanski, who, as you mentioned, got Joe Flacco to the playoffs at like 39 years old. Literally had to change the way that you vote on the comeback player of the year. The NFL sent a memo out after that saying, hey, you can't just vote for a guy because he's old. Kevin Stefanski made them change the way you vote on the award with what he did with Joe Flacco. He's a great offensive mind. I think with a full week, you'll see that Shadur Sanders is going to look way more comfortable. I just did not love that comment by Cam Newton.
Well, it just didn't make a lot of sense. And even when you go back to, like, reps, even when there is not any type of a quarterback controversy, wasn't this a big deal when Tom Brady was playing and he was, like, making a stink? They're like, no, Jimmy Garoppolo's not getting any of my reps. Like, do you remember that? I don't know if that was, like, a rumor, but, like, it was a big deal to Tom Brady. So it's one of those things where, like, it's just not normal to split the reps like that. And Cam Newton should know better. But talking about this line, do you have any faith in the Browns now? Now getting four points against one of the... But then it's one of the worst teams in the NFL. Like, if there's a team that the Browns can keep it close with, it's the Raiders.
It is the Raiders. But my fear is, Chelsea, that everyone and their mother is going to jump on the Browns because of Shadur. So I would rather... One, I'm not going to take a side in this one, period. Look, the NFL slate is not great this weekend, but it's not bad to the point where I feel like I need to bet on the Browns and Raiders. Like, I can still find some other value of this weekend. I would just look at some props. I'd look at maybe some Ashton Gentry props. If I can get like a Myles Garrett sack prop, maybe a Quinshon Judkins prop. I don't know that I'd bet any wide receiver props for Cleveland. Probably just hold on that. I need to see him with a full week of preparation. Like what we saw against Baltimore, who is also not a very good defense, was that because he had no reps, or is he just not very good? Because that's still very much a possibility that he's just not that good.
I would be careful on props too, just because the total on this one keeps sinking. I don't love betting on props unless it's unders when we're talking about a total of 36. So I think the total is a strong play. Again, I have the Browns in a teaser because I don't think that the Raiders are going to win by, 10 points? I don't see a blowout. So I think there's other options, but it's not going to be a side. It's not going to be props for me. All right, coming up next, we have to talk about this picture of Bill Belichick and an adult cheerleading competition. I have a lot of questions here. It's next on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back on a Thursday, November the 20th. Den Day and for Jinx, I'm Chelsea Messenger. All right, Den, so yesterday I saw this tweet and it stopped me dead in my tracks. Because sometimes you look at a picture and you're like, this can't be real, right? Like in the day and age of AI, you're like, all right, so did somebody doctor this? But the thing is, we've seen this before. So the picture was Bill Belichick spotted at an adult cheerleading competition in Raleigh, North Carolina, supporting his much younger girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, who is in said adult cheerleading competition, which like that sentence, I feel like it takes a minute to like wrap your brain around like, okay, adult cheerleading competitions, those exist. And then you see the picture and like Jordan Hudson has this like toddlers and tiaras hairstyle where like, I don't know how much hairspray was used, but it has to be a ton. There are grown men who have on like these, I guess you would call them leotards. And it's just weird to see because normally, like, cheerleaders, I just didn't know that this was an adult activity that people carried on. I guess it makes sense. No judgment. People play, like, beer league softball or whatever. But then you see Bill Belichick looking like himself and, like, some of the people around him. Like, there's another guy that has on, like, a velvet blue suit. I don't know if he's the MC of this event. Then there's a guy in another leotard with a bunch of sparkles on it. It's just... we've come a long way from the days of Bill Belichick patrolling the sidelines of the New England Patriots dynasty with a cutoff sweatshirt to adult cheerleading competitions with a bunch of grown men wearing sparkles.
You are a better person than I am because you said you are not judging. I am judging. I had so many questions. And the first question was, is this semi-pro or not? And the reason I asked that, are you getting paid or is all of what is happening out of pocket? Because like beer league softball, I played kickball for a little bit. I've done a little bit of ultimate frisbee. You know what the preparation is for that, Chelsea? Show up. And then just, if it's kickball, you know, maybe loosen the hips up a little bit, hit some, you know, quad stretches, get the mobility going, and then let the thing rip. If it's frisbee, same thing. Show up, get the shoulders moving, you know, maybe just make sure the elbows are right, get the joints, get everything lubricated, and then go out there. it looks like there's a lot of money poured into this. And it looks like there's a lot of time and effort poured into this. And that's a great thing in a vacuum. But what is Bill Belichick doing there? I mean, congratulations to them for making it through the honeymoon phase. And this is seemingly real. This is not a joke that we just all played along with for months. Like, this is very real. It has to be real because you're not going to an adult cheerleading event for someone that you don't actually care about. So, like, congratulations to them for finding love. But an adult cheerleading thing is odd. Like, that is just an objectively odd thing because there's no, like, what are you doing it for outside of the love of the game? At least, you know, I knew people that did the competitive cheerleading circuit when I was in high school, but there was the hopes of going to college, you know, maybe getting a scholarship and things of that nature. One, Jordan Hudson don't need the money. But like everybody else, like, do you go do a 9-to-5 after that? Like, you got an accountant job where you got to get lunch at Panera the next day? Like, I'm judging.
Right, because I think about, like, after the cheerleading competition and you have to, like, walk to your car or something in, like, full outfit. But here's the flip side. This is probably what people who are not sports fans think about, those weird people who fully paint themselves for NFL football games. Because we've seen it. The camera zooms in on them. Like, the guy at the Cardinals game who literally had a pink painted on his face. So, like, I get it. People are fanatical about different things. And I did think about this for a second. I was like, all right, Chelsea, don't be mean as usual. Because if you're super into cheerleading and you do it in college and then there's nothing. Like, if you're not like an NFL cheerleader or something, that's the end of the road. So I was thinking maybe some of these people are trying to be like on the dance teams for NBA teams, NFL teams. But I don't think that this would be that big of a deal if it wasn't Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick. Then I wanted to ask you this. I feel like this might be the most fascinating sports story in the last 5 years. I'm not even kidding. Like, all of the things that are involved in this and the complete opposite of what we've seen from Bill Belichick in this relationship, it is a fascinating case study to me. And I haven't even started talking about Jordan Hudson and her delusional confidence.
Yes. I mean, Bill Belichick showing up at anything on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I assume that picture was taken on a Tuesday. Showing up on a Tuesday is crazy. You know, Raleigh is like a 30-minute drive from UNC. I don't know where he lives in relation to UNC, so maybe he like splits the difference and maybe it was only a 15-minute drive or whatever. But he's taken time out of his week of studying. Like, this is in football season. It'd be very different if this was in, like, March, right? Like, yeah, it's spring ball, but you can kind of get yourself a Tuesday in March. Like, it's during the year. You're supposed to be recruiting. You got signing day coming up. You got guys in the portal. You want to go get guys out of the portal. Like, there's a lot of things that are going on right now in the life of a college football coach, a competent college football coach, which at this point, Bill Belichick has not proven to be. So the fact that he's now just sitting there, just hanging out, watching his lady in all of the hairspray glory. I'm glad you mentioned the hairspray thing. Do you know how much hairspray has to be used for somebody like me, whom is without hair, to look at a picture and be like, it's a lot of hairspray? You know how much I've ever thought about hairspray in my life, Chelsea? Never. Except for that like one Zac Efron movie, but I didn't see it. I just heard the commercials a ton. It's crazy to me that this is where we're at. And I would have to imagine that the people of UNC who signed off on the deal are livid with the decisions that they've made. Because, yeah, you're getting attention, but it feels like you are the joke, not that they're laughing with you.
Right. Because when I first saw this, I thought to myself, if I'm Will Ferrell and I saw this, this is my next movie. Wouldn't this be hilarious? Will Ferrell on an adult cheerleading squad? Like, this is one of those movies that would be an absolute hit in the vein of, like, Dodgeball, in the vein of what was the one about ice skating? Like, it would be so funny.
Oh, Blaze of Glory. Such a great movie.
Here's my other movie pitch. So think about this, because I think we've had this discussion on the show before, maybe me and Jenks, is that I think if you're a really great coach, it probably carries over to other sports, like some of the same principles, right? I was thinking to myself, what if Bill Belichick, you know, if he gets fired from UNC, he takes over this adult cheerleading squad and he brings them to glory. I mean, that's a movie right there, right? Like a curmudgeon old football coach taking over a cheerleading team. Like, get Billy Bob Thornton in there. Like, that would be hilarious.
Billy Bob Thornton, maybe Kevin James with some CGI going on. That Kevin James could say that he's the only actor in the history of life that played both Sean Payton and Bill Belichick. He just becomes the token NFL coach guy, which I think would be hilarious. I would love to see it. I just want to know. Like, I'm like you. I want to know more about the relational dynamics, because I think there's the one thing that is very much at the top of this that everyone thinks of when you see a guy that's in his 70s dating a girl that's in her 20s. So, like, there's that in there. But is that good enough to be going to a cheerleading competition, an adult cheerleading competition, where, again, there's nothing on the line and it's taking place on a Tuesday? You know what important things happen on a Tuesday? Nothing. So it's taking place on a Tuesday because the venue's probably booked for important things on a Friday or Saturday for him to be there sitting when he's in the middle of football season. So, like, there's clearly a lot more than just the obvious thing about old dude likes hot young girl that's going on there. And that, I like... The documentary is going to be fascinating whenever it comes, assuming it's a real documentary. I need more. I need, first of all, where's Pablo Torre when we need him? And I think Pablo Torre's in the lab right now. I think we might get a Pablo Torre podcast soon.
Yeah. I'm hoping Jordan Hudson finally goes on there. Because, again, I think she might be the most fascinating part of this whole story is that imagine having, like, the delusional confidence to wear the pants in a relationship with one of the most successful head coaches of all time in any sport. Like, imagine the power dynamics that would usually, you know, portray, or even somebody who is the younger one in a, you know, a May-December relationship. Like, usually it's the older person that has the power. But it feels like Jordan Hudson has all the power. And was she a 24-year-old philosophy major? Like, it's wild what she has spun herself into. And, like, I don't know whether to be impressed, because sometimes these people just will themselves into positions of power. Now she's a quote-unquote real estate tycoon. Or if you're like, hey, she's a bad person and she's taking advantage of him.
Maybe it's a little bit of both. I did see a video that I thought was hilarious this weekend when they were, Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson were walking, I guess, just after a game, and Jordan Hudson had a coat on, but she was wearing the coat in a way where, you know, her arms are in it, but it's not like fully on, so her back is fully exposed, right? And she's just right, walking with the coat like that. And the caption of the tweet that I saw was, there's no rhyme or reason that a 70-year-old should be dating a girl that walks around with her coat like that. That, like, that's a young person game thing. That's a clear sign, because, like, I'm sure we've all done, like, some silly style things in life, right? Sometimes I still be making some silly style choices in life, but there are certain things that you grow out of. It's just a maturity thing. Like, you don't see, unless you are this, like, major Hollywood icon, and maybe Jordan Hudson wants to be that. I would like to know who she studies in philosophy. I think that's another something we need to get into here, because if she's a philosophy major, clearly her line of thinking has blessed her with many different things. So I'd like to know who she studied. Is she like a fan of the Stoics? Is it more like a Plato? I don't think Plato was a Stoic. I think Marcus Aurelius is a Stoic. Didn't think we'd be talking about Stoics at 6:30 a.m. on a Thursday, but here we are. Thank you, Jordan Hudson, for that. I want to know who she studies that has gotten her to this position. Here I thought, Chelsea, on a Thursday, the craziest thing we'd be talking about with a college football coach is what did Lane Kiffin tweet this morning, but we're talking about Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson and an adult cheerleading competition that took place on a Tuesday.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this would be as big of a story, it still would be a big story, but do you think it would be this big if UNC was winning games?
That's a good question. I still think we would care about it, but I think it would be more justified because UNC's winning. And right now, like, my first thing, because we're like, so deep into college football season, the first thing I thought of was, why is Bill Belichick taking a Tuesday where he's not focusing on football after we just saw Brian Kelly and Hugh Freeze both get fired, with one of the reasons being they are not focusing on football the way that they need to be a coach at this level. And Bill Belichick is doing the same thing without the results, with a much easier contract to get out of. Why? So that was my first thought.
Well, also, you've got to remember, UNC is not an SEC school, and UNC does not have the hopes and aspirations of some of these teams that have, like, sky-high standards. So I think there's an element of that where they were happy to get Bill Belichick because it provided, like, some marketing and some juice for their program. I'm not saying UNC was terrible before. I'm just saying it would be much different if Bill Belichick was coaching LSU. You know, like, those people would revolt. Those people would, you know, be picketing and, you know, coming with pitchforks for Jordan Hudson. You know, it's just different in the SEC, so I think there's an element of that. But it's just wild. Like, remember going into the season, even people who knew a ton about college football, some of them thought that there was a chance UNC would be good. Like, Heather Dinich came on the show, and she was like, UNC is the ultimate wild card. And now we look, and, like, she was right, they're a wild card, just not in a good way. Because that's the other crazy part, is that you would think that Bill Belichick would be great at leading a college program. Like, because, you know, obviously it feels somewhat parallel, but it just hasn't worked out that way. Especially, like, what you're talking about, going somewhere else on a Tuesday. Isn't it in college football where, like, coaches sleep at their desks? And they hear, you hear all these horror stories from their wives where they're like, yeah, he's never home, but that's football season.
I mean, Hugh Freeze literally got fired from playing golf. He played golf too much, and the offense wasn't very good.
Well, he also didn't win.
He also didn't win. The offense wasn't good, and he played golf too much. Bill Belichick can't find a quarterback, and I was hanging out with Jordan Hudson on a Tuesday at a cheer event. Jordan Hudson, though, this is the genius of Herschelsa. You can only get, you're right, you can only get away with this at UNC. If they were doing this in Baton Rouge, she's like kind of funny on social media, right? Like, Pablo Torre's podcast got like an award or something yesterday, and she quote tweeted it and said, "You're welcome." And like, that's a funny bit. Like, I'm here for the humor of that. I think Torre's podcast is great, regardless of the Jordan Hudson stuff, but that clearly helped. She would get crucified if they were doing this in Baton Rouge, or God forbid, Tuscaloosa. They lost to, you know, Florida State, and they wanted to buy Kalen DeBoer out. Imagine what they would be doing if Bill Belichick or the coach was at a cheer event on a Tuesday.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. It's a Thursday, and it's time for our weekly power rankings segment. And I will say, I feel like this year it's harder than previous years to narrow it down to just five teams. Because I'll say this, like, the number one team, like, spoiler alert, it's going to be the Rams, feels like the only team that's kind of proven that they belong at the top. But other than that, like, I feel like you could mix, you know, team two and team eight up. And honestly, you could probably make a strong argument for it. I should mention Denton Day and for Jenks today. But Denton, since we've been looking at things through the prism of college football, because we just had the college football playoff rankings, I keep saying that, like, if you're not in the top 12, like, just stop complaining. You should have won more games. And listen, if you're standing at number 13, you probably ain't winning a national championship anyway. But if we look at the playoff standings right now, There are several teams, a couple teams especially, that you look at the playoff standings right now, and if the season were to end today, they wouldn't be in the postseason. I still think that they could have like won a Super Bowl. Like, look at the Chiefs. Right now, their record's not great. But is anybody looking at the Chiefs and like, yeah, that team can't win a Super Bowl? Like, try to doubt the Chiefs again. Like, we've done it year after year, and they keep popping up in the Super Bowl and in the AFC Championship, which is now the Kansas City Invitational. So I wanted to ask you, when you look at these teams in the NFL, how many teams do you think could actually win a Super Bowl this year? Because honestly, I feel like the list is pretty long.
It's very long. You know, I'm pulling up the odds on BetMGM, and if you just go down, right, the Rams are definite. Philly is a yes, though I would, you know, be very hesitant. I think talent-wise on that roster, they're great. There is a coaching problem with Philadelphia right now, and I'm always a little weary of teams that are having these sorts of issues now deep into the season of what happens when they finally get exposed. So I'm a little worried of that, but I still think from a talent perspective, Philadelphia's roster is one of, if not the best in the NFL. So they're a yes. The Bills are a yes. Chiefs are a yes, even though it feels like the Chiefs could miss the playoffs. They're plus 850 right now, Chelsea. This feels like a pretty good time to jump on them. You know, I don't know that you'll get better odds with them still realistically getting into the postseason than what you're getting right now, so that might be something to jump in on. I will reluctantly say the Lions. I don't think Jared Goff can do it, but I think their roster is good, so I'll reluctantly say the Lions. And then this is where we get into maybe some deeper conversations, right? I would say yes to the Ravens. I'd say yes to the Seahawks. I would say no to the Colts. I would say no to the Broncos. I would say no to the Packers. I would say yes to the Patriots. And that's it. Niners, no. Bucks, no. Chargers, no. And then if you're looking deeper than that, more power to you. But that's where I draw the line.
Okay. I need to pause here for a moment, because I think if we're talking about like the logic that you're using here, why are the Seahawks a yes and the Colts a no? Because I think for me, it's like the question is at quarterback, right? If you're saying, okay, Daniel Jones, I'm not sure if I trust him in the postseason, can we trust Sam Darnold?
It's more about Seattle's defense. I thought the way, despite the loss against Los Angeles, they played excellent. And that's been par for the course for them. So it's more about you're right, the quarterback situation there with Darnold and with Daniel Jones is tough. Not a great quarterback situation, but that Seahawk defense is not Legion of Boom good, but it is feeling like they can win at least one or two playoff games. Darnold just needs to make sure his head's out of the sand. And with Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. I think you're underselling just a bit there. But I will say this about Sam Darnold. Like, some of the numbers that he's put up this year, like, if you look at advanced metrics, and I know that, like, some people aren't super sold on Pro Football Focus because, number one, they rank Patrick Mahomes below Marcus Mariota. So I don't know how much, you know, credence you can take to a list that does that. But Sam Darnold has the best rating, according to Pro Football Focus, of any quarterback in the entire league. And here's the thing, like, he did this last year as well, and it's how much do you crucify a player for, like, two bad games? Like, albeit it was at the worst time of the year, but I do think, like, the larger the sample size is, like, the more opportunities he gets to play in the postseason, the better he'll be. Like, I just don't see him laying an egg again. Like, I don't think it's a clutch thing. I just think that, like, maybe the competition was good and it just happened to be an off night. Do you think Sam Darnold, like, lacks the clutch gene?
A little bit, but in fairness, I don't think that many guys have it. I think we think of guys that are clutch just as, like, a general football fan thinks that more guys are clutch than they are. You know, right now, in terms of just active guys in the 2025 season, I really need to specify that because Jaden Daniels is not going to be on this list, but if it was in 2024, he would be. But in the 2025 season, I would say clutch right now. Still Mahomes, he's earned that title for life. Josh Allen, what we saw last week against the Bucks, amazing. I would say Drake May. In terms of like true clutch, maybe I'll throw Jalen Hurts on there too. But that's kind of where I where I end the list. Like, I haven't really seen it enough from Lamar. Like, they lose that game last week to Cleveland if Shedeur Sanders doesn't come into the game. I would like to see a little bit more from some of these other quarterbacks, like a Darnold, like a Jordan Love. I give Stafford in there too. Stafford is clutch. So there's like five like true
been around for 15
clutch.
Years.
Yeah, exactly. But there's like five true clutch quarterbacks. So the fact that Sam Darnold does not have that gene yet, I feel like that is kind of normal. Like, there's not 15 guys that are clutch.
Well, I think it also has to be earned. Like, I'm not standing here and saying that Drake May deserves it yet. He hasn't won a playoff game yet, right? Because look at last year for Sam Darnold. If you were like standing at week 11 and you look at Sam Darnold's number, you're like, whoa, yeah, he's amazing. Why would I ever doubt him? Like, he looks so good. And here's the other thing. Just from a statistical standpoint, like, when we bet on things, you need a sample size that makes sense. Sam Darnold has one postseason game in which he played a whole game. Is that fair to look at one game and decide, like, if somebody's clutch or not? Like, what if Aaron Judge played in one total postseason game and he went 0-3? Are we like, yeah, Aaron Judge is terrible? No, not that Sam Darnold is Aaron Judge, but you get the point that I'm making.
Well, I think for him, it's more, it's not necessarily playoff games, it's the big games, right? Like, they had that bad game at the end of the year last year that you kept them from getting the first round bye. And then this weekend, he just did not look good against Los Angeles. Like, there were plays to be made that he just did not make. I'm a little bit more confident in Drake May, though. And this is, if I can get on my college football playoff grind for you, he passes the eye test. Like, I watched Drake May, and I'm like, whatever it is, he has it. And I'm really confident that once he gets in the postseason, he's not just going to lose it.
Drake May is Denton's Notre Dame, where it's just, you know, those gold helmets are so shiny and he can't get past it. But you're
new
right.
New Patriots uniforms.
Has done nothing to, like, go the other direction. So we'll see with Drake May. All right, so let's get to it. Our power rankings.
Jinx and Chelsea tell you who has the power.
This is a power struggle.
After the weekend in the NFL.
Best team ever.
All right, so I'm going to try to roll through these because we've already talked a lot about these teams in general. If I can get this browser to load. Here we go. My computer's not playing along. All right, here's the top five for me. Rams at one. I don't think I need to explain myself there. Patriots at two. Eagles at three, Colts at four, Bills at five. I understand people look at the Colts and are like, are you sure, Chelsea? Like, the numbers are still good. And here's, you know, it's the power rankings for this week. It's not the power rankings for the future and projected stats. This is what I think of teams at this juncture in the season. So, Denton, looks like you have a few other teams kind of sprinkled in here. Who are your top five teams in the NFL this week?
Yeah, so our list is very similar. I got Rams at one. I got Patriots at two. I feel like across the media landscape, you'll see a lot of that. I do have the Buffalo Bills at three. Josh Allen's getting into Superman mode, and what he did against Tampa this weekend was nothing short of sensational. Six touchdowns was amazing, so I got them at three. I have the Denver Broncos at four, and this is a come-to-Jesus moment for me, Chelsea, because personally, I still look at them, and I have some questions, but when you stack their entire season up, and they have wins against Philadelphia, and they have now a win against Kansas City, and a very impressive win at that, you do got to give them a little bit of respect. So I got them at four, and I have the Philadelphia Eagles at five. I am waiting for their offense the way that everybody else is waiting for their offense, just to be fun. They don't even have to be good. They just have to be fun, and they're not fun. They got a lot of infighting. They got a lot of bickering, but they're still really talented. Boring as hell, but really talented. So I got Philadelphia at five.
I think the Colts and Broncos kind of fall into the same category, where all season long they've kind of had to prove it to us because none of us really believe it. But I'll say this, like, the Denver defense has been pretty consistent. Like, their defense is something else. But I think the questions arise when you talk about the quarterback situation, because Denver's offense has been very pedestrian in some of these games. Like, Bo Nix has been kind of inconsistent this year. And I guess you could say the same thing for Daniel Jones just over the past couple games. But I do think in the games in which Daniel Jones has been good, he's been way better than Bo Nix. So I think the high-end potential for the offense for the Colts is better. Like, think about, like, Jonathan Taylor and, like, the pieces on that offense compared to the Broncos. So I trust that offense more, but I trust the defense of the Broncos more. So, like, if they could come together as a team, like, be one team, I would trust him. But until that day, I still feel like they kind of have their warts. And plus, they don't have the postseason experience that some of these other teams do. Like, isn't that why we kind of leave the light on for, like, the Bills and, you know, the Chiefs and the Eagles? Because I do think it's a different game.
It feels like the floor, though, for Denver is higher than the floor for Indianapolis. Like, if things go super sideways in Indianapolis, you have a 5-turnover game like we saw against Pittsburgh. Whereas I don't know that you would have that with Denver. But they are a defense-first team. And man, the way that they had a great defense years ago, let all them dudes go, and have now built up another great defense is unfair. They just, they recycle, rinse, recycle, repeat. It's really impressive in Denver.
Well, and also if you're doing like position by position, if head coaching matters, Sean Payton, I feel like, has the upper hand over Shane Steichen, which Shane Steichen's done a great job. But I think I'd trust Sean Payton just a touch more. All right, hour two is coming up next, and we'll start with our best plays in Thursday Night Football. Bills, Texans. That's after the break on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.